You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 3D printers are getting renewed attention. As of tomorrow, it will be legal for you to download instructions for making a gun with a home 3D printer. These high-end printers you'd need to make a gun might be out of reach for many people, but critics believe making an untraceable gun at home is not a good thing for the country. But 3D printers could play another role in our lives. They could help cushion us from a trade war, particularly the trade war with China. Instead of buying some plastic tool or toy made in China, you could easily make it at home with a relatively inexpensive 3D printer. Joshua Pierce is a professor of materials science and engineering at Michigan Technological University. He's here with us now. Joshua, how do you see 3D printing being an American consumer's friend in these trade wars?
Well, for the last several years, the cost of 3D printers has really come down. So they're now in the consumer price range, a few hundred dollars to a few thousand. And that gets you a reasonably good printer that's capable not just of prototyping products, but actually manufacturing them. And so it is now definitely physically possible for an everyday consumer to download a free design and print a product for themselves in their own homes.
So give us some examples. What kinds of products might we easily make at home?
Basically anything right now that is made out of plastic. So all of the toys that you see at Walmart and buy off of Amazon, a lot of your household goods, a lot of like custom things that you might use to fix things around your kitchen or your living room, we use it in our labs to make custom scientific equipment all the time, saving ourselves literally tens of thousands of dollars. So it's basically anything that you want that's custom and that can be manufactured at least in part out of plastic. So it doesn't necessarily have to be completely manufactured out of plastic, but you can do most of the parts. So a good example might be something like a quadcopter or a drone, where you can manufacture most of the components with a 3D printer and then buy the few electronic parts off of eBay and build yourself a drone for far less than you would ever purchase one, even without the tariffs.
In your piece that you wrote about this for theconversation.com, you kind of point out we could make our money back pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've done several studies looking at the economics of 3D printing from the consumer's perspective. And pre-trade war, the average consumer printing one object out a week would easily pay for the cost of the printer in under a year. And then if you used a printer that same way, which is very, very conservatively, you would earn rates of return in the hundreds or thousands of percent, depending on what you were printing. Now, the truth be told is that no one only prints one thing a week after you get a 3D printer. You'd find that the more experience you have with it, the more objects you start seeing that you would just purchase kind of every day, you can start making for yourself.
And I mean, you talk about things like breast prosthetics or orthotics, cheap toys. It's pretty stunning, the list of things. I think a lot of us don't realize that we could do at home.
Right. So, and the prosthetics and the orthotics, those are the high-end items. So, for example, my orthotics cost $600 for a pair. But after I have a single version of them, I can take some pictures with my cell phone, transfer that into a digital three-dimensional object, and then print out another copy for myself for a couple of dollars. And so instead of buying them for multiple copies of your shoes or changing them, you can make as many copies as you want. And those kind of savings quickly add up. And after you get that one killer application for yourself, then you can, everything else on top of it is just icing on the cake.
And you also describe an extremely supportive culture of sharing when it comes to printing. Talk to us about that. What's out there for people?
Yeah, so what makes this really possible is that the average person doesn't know CAD, and they would have a hard time, say, designing their own orthotic, and they probably shouldn't. But what they can do is sort of leverage this sharing community on the Internet. And so as the 3D printing has taken off, one of the things that's come with it is this sort of expectation that you share your designs. And so there's literally millions of free designs on the web right now. Basically, everything that you can think of somebody's taken a crack at it, and it might not be exactly what you want, but it might be pretty close. And so when people are first starting with 3D printing, I recommend that they go to one of the sharing sites like My Mini Factory or Umagine, type in the thing that you would like to 3D print or offset your purchase and see if somebody else hasn't already made it. And sort of the sharing community, what it's done is you're obligated to share any improvements you make on the design. And I know that it's helped me personally and helped our lab incredibly by we share all of our designs. And then as people all over the world, people will never meet, make improvements on them, they reshare it back on the web. And so then the next time I want, say, a scientific tool or something for my boat, I can use the design that came from someone else and have a better product that, again, I 3D print in my own home or my own lab.
Wow. And you tell us there are millions of free designs, so jewelry, artwork, musical instruments, household items, tools. That is pretty stunning. What about buying the raw materials that most 3D printers use? I guess, does that material come from China?
A lot of it does today. There are American manufacturers of it. And in the U.S., our access to the filament, it's basically like a long string of plastic spaghetti that you use to 3D print the parts. That's readily available. In other places in the world, it becomes less readily available. And you might imagine that in the future, if, say, the trade war got really bad and we were cut off from all polymers from China, that things might become, it might hurt your ability to 3D print at home. But we do have a relatively newish, exciting potential, and that is to make filament in your own home. And so our team has designed a RecycleBot, which is a waste plastic extruder where you take this tool, take your empty water bottles, throw it in it, and it makes filament that you can then run to your 3D printer. And so there's a bunch of different commercial versions of these, many open source ones, and the one that we make is largely 3D printable. And so you can use your 3D printer to make the RecycleBot that then makes the filament that then you can make whatever you want with.
That solves another problem with all of those plastic water bottles that are going in the recycling bin.
Absolutely. And so this way you know they're recycled, and then it becomes valuable to you too. So you would never think about throwing out a plastic object after you have one of these, because you can turn it back into your next product, whatever that might be.
I'm talking with Joshua Pierce, professor of materials science and engineering at Michigan Technological University, as we look at what can be done at home with 3D printers. On another note, Joshua, I have to ask you about the report that just came out that a Texas group on August 1st is apparently going to post instructions online for how to print a 3D gun. Gun control groups lost an emergency effort to keep those blueprints from being released. So what do we do about a society when anyone could print and make a single-shot weapon on their home 3D printer?
So looking at all the potential good applications of 3D printing, which are across-the-board beneficial for everybody, I think the relatively small risk that someone is going to start 3D printing plastic guns is truly small. If you want a gun today in America, it is much easier to buy one. So within my hometown here, there's at least three places you can go purchase a legal firearm. And if you are a criminal and you're not allowed to do that, 3D printing a gun, particularly out of plastic, isn't such a good idea. Now there's many other ways to do it, using machining, using stuff that you can just buy at the hardware store, you can make a better gun. So it does represent a risk. I am a little bit concerned about it because we also have low-cost 3D metal printers that could be used to do that. But the gestalt of it is access to weapons in the United States now is not the issue for criminals. Like, it's not like they can't get them. And being able to access these designs does make it possible for people to possibly start iterating on the designs and making new types of guns. But we haven't seen that yet. And even the company that's doing it, their design repository is mostly looking at old military manuals and measuring the specs off of old guns and putting those up online. And those are already in the public domain. They're just making it easier to get access to them.
Circling back to the trade wars, how likely do you believe it is 3D printers one day could pretty much eliminate the need for us to buy, you know, these cheap plastic products from overseas?
I see that is definitely the future. I think economics is going to drive consumer behavior. And so right now, there's very few things you can invest in to get, say, 1,000% return on your money. 3D printers is one of the things that can do that. And so we're seeing this massive explosion in consumer-level desktop 3D printers that is continuing. Now, the thing that makes that slightly uncomfortable is that many of these 3D printers themselves are coming from China. And so if the trade wars continue to escalate, it might change where those printers are coming from and who's manufacturing them. But there's no question that we're headed in that direction. The bigger question is do consumers want that? Are they willing to design things on their own? Are they willing to become makers? And the stats so far say that roughly half of the American adult population would be considered a maker of some kind. Now, they might be making clothing or, you know, refinishing their wood chairs at home or something like that. And so the next step to go to digital manufacturing with 3D printing really isn't that far from, you know, someone that is used to kind of making things for themselves. So we'll see. I'm optimistic that we're going to see this move in that direction, and that will provide American consumers some protection from any type of trade war, no matter what what ends up happening in the future.
Joshua Pierce, professor of materials science and engineering at Michigan Technological University. Thank you so much for speaking with us on Stateside.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.